County Board of Supervisors will convene today, and I will call on Ms. Ogren, lead us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Chaplain Bradley.
Father, we're grateful to be in your presence today and here in this room to conduct the business of the county. We so appreciate those who serve and serve faithfully, and staff and the Board of Supervisors. But I continue to pray for our first responders because of the fires and other issues in our county. Father, we pray for their protection, for their safety. We are so grateful for all that they do for their community. And we just want to lift them up and say that what they do is beyond measure many times as they commit themselves to serving the people. And so we are grateful today to be here and to be part of who you are in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hey, Wendy, roll call.
All righty. Supervisor Chris.
Present in person.
Supervisor Cobstaff.
Here.
Supervisor Haupt.
Here.
Supervisor Ogren.
Present.
And Supervisor Valenzuela.
Supervisor Valenzuela is in transit back from D.C.
So do you think he'll be in at all today?
No. I spoke to him yesterday.
Absent. Okay. So let's see real quick. The board will be convening today as the Flood Control and Water Conservation District and receives no additional compensation. We're good.
Before we go to presentations in the public, I have an urgency item to add today. And that item came up at the last minute. I don't know if you want to talk about that, Councilor.
Sure, real quickly. This is an urgency item that came to the attention of, I believe, you.
Yes.
After the posting of the agenda, it has to do with I-5 overpass being closed until October 21, which could potentially impact the safety of citizens in Siskiyou County if another fire were to occur. The next board meeting is not until August 3rd, and the board may wish to act or provide direction prior to this August 3rd regular board meeting, as much as we're in fire season right now, and for that matter, have fires going on. And so for that reason, staff requests the board determine by a two-thirds vote of the members present, which would be, that this item want to be added to the agenda pursuant to Government Code 54954.2B2.
Move to put that on the agenda today and open discussion.
Second.
And Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Excuse me, Supervisor Cobstaff?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Haupt?
Aye. All right, thank you.
And we'll take that up at a later time?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
I'm going to move to presentations from the public. The time slots for information from the public, no action or discussion will be conducted on the matters presented. At this time, you'll be allowed 3 minutes for your presentation. The chair may extend that time to 5 minutes for appropriate circumstances, and written comments can be presented if so desired by providing a minimum of 7 copies to the clerk. When addressing the board, please state your name for the record prior to providing your comments, and please address the board as a whole through me, the chair. Comments should be limited to matters within the jurisdiction of this board. And so, do we have any comment online?
We have 2 online. You ready?
Caller Giselle Nova, I believe you're the first to be recognized. Good morning. Hello?
Is that on the speaker? Mm-hmm.
Giselle, are you there?
You hear me?
Yes.
I hear you now.
Okay. So
Again, I'm here to talk about a new funding that I just found out about through the California Fire Safety Council. It's CAL FIRE money. It's for a county coordinator, and it's to assist counties with wildfire mitigation, outreach, and coordination. The goal of the program is to educate, encourage, and develop countywide collaboration and coordination among various wildfire mitigation groups operating within the county. The grant could either be written and administered by the county, or the county could give it to a nonprofit. Some of the things that the county must determine interest and act as the starting point to apply for this grant. Counties may choose to direct the application process and funds to a nonprofit if they want, and it's for local fire mitigation groups. Let me hold on here a second. My thing's not working. We need supervisor's approval and a letter from them if they want the Fire Safety Council of Siskiyou County or someone else to apply for this, or if they want to apply for it themselves. There's a process that they can go through, and we'd be willing to assist in any way you want. I sent you the link, and you're more than welcome to look at that and get back to me if you would. Let me know what you want to do concerning this opportunity. It's $178,000 to be used over an 18-month period, and you can use it for a variety of things. Pay staff or whatever it is that you want. It has a list of things that you can use it for. And I think that's just about it. You just need to go look at it. So some of the suggested uses is hire a county coordinator, office space, outreach and mailing materials, technological infrastructure to communicate, develop plans and recommendations of CWPP, and we have one of those. We have a countywide CWPP, we have one in Mount Shasta, Wairika, I think, just got theirs approved, Dunsmuir has one, all of whom, except for Wairika, we helped and got the funding to write those, and assist in new group formation. However, we've already got 23 fire safe councils in Siskiyou County. I don't think we want to form any more. We want to collaborate as a county and help each other with our fuel reduction and our education and outreach and whatever else it is that we need to do. So any comments, or I think that's about it for me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. Supervisor Griff.
Ms. Nova, when is the deadline for this potential grant? Okay, she can hear me? Oh.
August 30th. It opens August 1st, and it's due August 30th.
All right. And then, do we want to direct staff to come back to something in August to look at this?
Yeah, I was kind of looking out there for Elizabeth. She's not here today.
I'm just taking the thought process into it and pass the word on.
Matt's got the placeholder.
All right.
Yeah. And I know we had a position in a couple of other grants as well.
Yeah.
But I currently know the status of those grants. CCS. Yeah. And I can put you on the spot. That's good. All right, thank you. Next commenter.
Mr. Drosselin, you may unmute and it's your turn to speak.
Nick Drosselin, Mount Shasta, California. I know we're not supposed to have a conversation at this point in the agenda, but I was hoping we'd shortly receive some sort of update about the helicopter crash into Lake Shastina and an update on how that might affect Montague's drinking water. Thank you.
Next caller.
Jennifer, you may unmute and your turn to speak.
Hi, this is Jennifer Dickinson. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so under item 11, it says that it's being moved to August 3rd. I just want to confirm that first. Is that really truly being moved to August 3rd, or are you talking about it today?
I will be opening the public hearing and then continuing it to August 3rd.
Okay, so thank you for that. I just wanted to briefly, and this is very briefly, thank you for all you're doing with assisting us out in Shasta Vista with the illegal pot grows. We all know these growers and their supporters who have given them water, have created an environmental nightmare for our county. Second, where do they live? They don't live here. People keep telling you that these are poor people. They live in other cities and counties. And you can look up the land records, and I know you know this because of the abatement letters I've seen at previous meetings. They live in Antioch, San Francisco, Minnesota, Oklahoma, New York, Tennessee, Wisconsin. And third, they buy land. They do not drill wells. They install septic systems. And the local ranchers who supply the water to these grows are just as criminal, knowing that they will make a lot of money all under the table, and no one is paying taxes. These pleas by the individuals to work together with you is just a ploy, just like the federal lawsuit against you. It's an attempt to stop you from pursuing, stopping them with your ordinances or further tactics. Okay, so the last thing that I need to say is it's not just Shasta Vista, it's also Juniper Valley, not just the forest and the cloud, Hornbrook, Happy Camp, and Butte Valley, as well as other areas. There, you know, it's so funny because they sit there and they protest and they tell you that they're desperate for water and that they need it for all this. You're buying up land now in Medford. It was reported on Channel 12 News that the government there is baffled by the illegal grow operations that are now expanding at a rate never seen before in history. These are the same people. They do not apply for permits of any kind. And now the local government up there is appealing to their state legislature to call on the National Guard for help against the illegal grows. Lastly, I saw last night that two water trucks were on Big Springs Road, and they entered into a division of Lake Shastina called Rancho Vista, I believe. These growers are using these trucks. I just have two more comments. They're stealing water from fire hydrants. Back in 2017, Sheriff Volpe reported that a 99 plant harvested would result in over $300,000. So these guys are not poor. They live all over the place, and all the issues that they are trying to get you to focus on are irrelevant. So again, I thank you for all you're doing. Just keep up the good work.
Thank you. Any other callers online?
None online.
All right, I have one card in the audience from Therese.
That'd be me, present and accounted for.
You come to the microphone, please.
Everybody can hear me, I have a loud voice. Hi, I'm Therese.
They have to hear you online.
Oh, I'm sorry. So, I'm here about my concerns about fire safety and evacuation.
Ma'am, if I could get your name for the record first, thank you.
T-H-E-R-E-S-E, Therese Swenson.
Thank you.
I'm from Mount Shasta, South County. So, in May, I became concerned about fire season because I used to work with CAL FIRE for 3 years. I worked with Giselle. I was glad to see we opened the meeting talking about fire. I'm glad that she's got a program, may have a job for me. Just kidding. So, my concern about evacuation, about South County, is that I worked with CAL FIRE in Dunsmuir, and I worked on that CWPP that she has in her file, so I wasn't able to bring it. But the thing that we are constantly brought to our attention during a CAL FIRE meeting is, what do we do with people if there's a fire? There's tiers of evacuation and notices, but then you got to move them out, and you got to move them forward. If we start at Shasta County line and we talk about the amount of people that live in Castilla, the amount of people in Dunsmuir, and move them up the freeway, and if anything should happen on the freeway, we need to be able to move people through the main streets of Mount Shasta. And what concerns me is I have brought my concerns up to the Mount Shasta City Council, Mount Shasta City Planning, and the Fire Department, and I'm not sure that my concerns are being considered. And my frustration is that I went to them at the beginning of June about some structures that are on the Mount Shasta Boulevard that are somewhat immovable. They have a concrete barrier, platforms built in front of one restaurant, pipeline, and now been approved for Sparky's. These are temporary variances, and I completely understand when the COVID hit, we had a real shutdown in the community and the roads were empty, and they said, please, can we put a seating, outdoor seating? And they allowed them a 6-month variance, which was just renewed in June, which I had brought to the attention that it should be considered not be renewed. I do understand people like to eat outdoors. There's several restaurants in Mount Shasta. I could name them all, but they have outdoor seating on their own property. They're not using parking spaces. What concerns me is you can't do it for one and not all. And if you had Andaman's Thai want to use their parking space, the gallery sells coffee, they could put up coffee tables, you could have the Oven Bakery, you could have the new tap room, you could have the Burger Express. We already have restaurants that have outdoor seating. My concern is Main Street. I have no issue with outdoor. Crave has outdoor, Shri Ram, the new Thrive. So people have created outdoor seating on their own property to use the parking places concerns me, because if we need to move people north, everybody has more than one car. They have boats, they have motorhomes. It's not just one car driving out of Castell. It's everybody trying to move something important to them.
I give you a couple minutes. Can you wrap up?
I can. Thank you. So the reason I'm bringing this to you now is I wrote a letter to Mount Shasta City Council Planning and Fire Department. They didn't respond. When I went to the city and said, how do I get it on the agenda? She said, you bring it up and you ask. I didn't say the words, put it on the agenda. So at the next meeting, I re-presented my points, bringing up the point about pedestrian traffic being impeded by tables and water and glasses and wait staff. It's also visually, Mount Shasta has requirements for architectural review, what it looks like, what your sign is, how many occupancy. They have rules about parking. You have to provide parking. So all of these things were waived during COVID. I understand we had tough times. I understand the city wants businesses to succeed. I'm not against that. I even gave a positive suggestion about putting peeler cores down and rolling the platform around onto Castle Street. We have public parking. It could be put there. I don't object to outdoor, and I don't object to social distancing. I wrote another letter, which I gave to the council and the planning and the fire department again, and I said, please, we need to consider this. This is important. It's South County. There's a lot of people that need to be moved. We need all roads to be able to move north. We can't have people driving around, and if everybody did it, you'd have all of that on the main street to have to drive around. So it concerns me, and what I'm here for is I want to know my concerns are considered. And because I wrote to them twice, well before the lava fire, when they started evacuation on Everett Memorial and on Spring Hill Road, I thought that would bring it to their attention. But no, I don't want to make anybody mad. I just really believe we have a serious concern about moving traffic forward. And if somebody has an accident on the freeway, we need all lanes going north. So I appreciate this started with urgent fire matters. I appreciate Giselle for talking about the CWPP, because it's important that we consider how to move people, not just where we're going to put them, but how do we move all those people. Thank you for listening to me. And I was advised by Phil Lanzo to take it back to the council. I did. They took no action. So Phil Lanzo said I should come to you. And then if I can't get something considered, to have Ed Valenzuela act in my behalf. Thank you.
Thank you.
Through the chair.
Yes, ma'am.
Angela Davis, County Administrator. I do have an item for you this morning on public comment.
Okay.
And that is to introduce to some and present to others our brand new Director of Public Works, Thomas Deeney. So if you'd like to come forward, Tom. We are excited to have him on board. His first official day was yesterday. So he is here today just so that you can place the face with the name. And again, we are excited to have him on board.
Well, welcome. One day on the job, you gotta know everything already, right?
Yeah, pretty much have it all locked down. I just wanted to come and say thank you and introduce myself and get to see all your faces. And that's all that I have. I don't really, do you guys have any questions for me real quick?
Welcome aboard.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to stick around for the discussion on the fire, because I'm sure there's going to be work coming your way.
Yes, sir, I will. Thank you.
All right.
Chair. Sure. Perez, before you leave, just for clarification, I think we need to, so you don't think that we're not taking action on what you're requesting? The county doesn't have any jurisdiction over the city, other than potentially traffic, you know, outside the city through the local transportation committee.
So my supervisor would be the person? Who do I go to? You're the top. I came to the king.
but even then, thought. I think he could be a liaison between, you know, to help the city see your point. But
six letters.
Yeah, I understood.
I've been patient.
Understood. I just don't want you to think that we're going to be able to pull a rabbit out of the hat, because it's usually on the
so
city.
So do the cities respond to the Board of Supervisors if you were to even give them an inquiry?
No, they're separate entities altogether.
They actually have more power than the county.
Tell
within
me what
our
to
jurisdiction.
Do with my concern, because I'm scared.
Do talk to Supervisor Valenzuela, because he can act as that liaison and get a little
Thank
more
you.
Focus on it.
Thank you.
Yeah, but they are autonomous.
I didn't know you needed 8 copies of my letter, so I would have made. You don't really have to. I just wanted to put it in the file. Thank you.
Okay, seeing no more public comment, move to consent agenda. Preparation from the board, anything you wish to be pulled?
If nothing is going to be pulled, I move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay. All righty. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbsett?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Before I go to the urgency, I'm going to move down to the Cleveland Consulting item 6A. Since we have people here waiting for that.
Seven copies, just supports the slideshow I have.
Okay.
Do I have a slideshow? It should be on here. I'll just adjust those down. Thank you.
Supervisor Chris, were you going to introduce this? Or?
Yeah, but I was wondering that too. I can tee this up. Absolutely. So, Ms. Cleveland, I'll just tee this up for the,
okay.
for the team. Thank you. So, in regards to, there's a Prop 68 potential funding for grants, and to apply, it has to be a government entity, whether it be a city or a county. And since this is in an area of the county, Cleveland Consulting approached me with this actually a wonderful idea for a recreational area on Hate Mountain, which is in the area of Tennant, California. And since the county would have to be the grant holder, since this is a government entity, Cleveland Consulting approached us on this. So I was hoping to do today, because I know there's deadlines for the grant application and getting everything in, is for this presentation to be given, and then permission to ask staff and county council's office to look into what would define the roles and responsibilities of all of us involved with this would be, what the roles of the county would be, what the roles of the Cleveland Consulting, those liabilities, and then we'll come back in August with whether we can send an agenda or regular and see if we want to pursue doing this. So it's kind of a, you know how government works. This is presenting to us to see if we want to look into it and then giving that permission to move forward. So thank you. I'll thank you for that for
you. Thank you. Thank you, Supervisor Chris. And thank you all for having me. My name is Anna Cleveland.
Good morning.
Good morning. And mostly I wanted to make sure that the county is aware of a grant opportunity through the state of California. And I'm a grant writer based in Doris that has just recently written a grant for this same, it's the same template of grant for a different project in Doris. And so I'm really familiar with the grant itself, which is why I'm here to tell you about this one and a project that I think would be perfect and I need your support in being the grant applicant if you could hit the next slide. So I pulled the Mountains of Opportunity off of the Siskiyou County website because I think that's exactly what we're looking at here. And I just showing the logo of the opportunity from the grant. I did give you a handout that matches the wording to what we're going to present just so that you have reference. Next slide. So this is a rural tourism and recreation grant, like I said, from the state of California. And I need you to know that it's either a city, a county, or an eligible district that has to apply, which is why I'm here. You know, I'm on the board of a nonprofit that would love to do it, but we cannot do it on our own. We have to be able to partner with the county because it's widespread and it could affect multiple cities in our county. That's why I'm coming to the county instead of individual cities for the application. Next slide. I should say before I actually move that slide that one of the criteria, thank you so much, one of the criteria is that we are a county with less than 500,000 people, which we are, definitely, and we're a city that, if a city applied, a city has less than 50,000 people in it, and so we're basically what the state is looking for in order to have this application put in, right, is for rural tourism, not for San Francisco tourism, okay? Thank you. Eligible projects, they need to be, they must be either the development or combination or of acquisition of a development that creates a new recreation feature. So the idea that we have that I want to leave you with will be something brand new we've never had. Well, we do have a ski resort in Siskiyou County, but it would be an opportunity in a brand new blank slate area. And eligible recreation features, there's going to be a couple slides for this, but I just want to make sure that we highlight on that the acquisition of the land, if that's part of it, is part of the grant cost, so we could actually we could request whatever cost it is, if there is cost there, to acquire land, and the development of that new feature. And then the state gives us several ideas of things that we could ask for within that grant. And I highlighted in red the ones that pertain to the grant that I'm talking about, or the project that I would like to present. But I also want to say that this grant is open to the county in multiple levels. I mean, if you were to say there's other places in our county we could use this recreation money, then we could apply in multiple ways. I just do want you to leave with at least one idea that we have. And that one idea, it is around a year-round complex, like Mr. Chris explained, a complex on West Haight Mountain, which is basically like near Tenet, California. And it would be a year-round complex that offers winter sports and summer recreation, which is that in the center of the slide there. We could offer non-motorized trails, equestrian trails, hikeways, pedestrian and bicycle bridges with this money. Next slide. And then I also highlighted the ones that pertain to our project, which would be open space and natural areas for public recreation, campgrounds and picnic and barbecue areas. And these ideas are provided by the state, but they're not limited to the scope here. We could obviously have more ideas that could be brought into that project. Next slide. And then also any support, major support amenities for the project. So restroom buildings or snack shacks, parking lot, staging areas, pathways to access the recreational feature, any of the landscaping or lighting can also be included. Next slide. So the grant amount per application, the maximum grant request is $3 million. And I can't build a year-round complex for $3 million, obviously, but there's gonna take seed money that's gonna, we're hoping to decide how much we need to actually apply for, and then whatever we show the need for and the capacity to perform within the performance period, that money will help us to actually activate the remainder of the project, any investors and bigger business pieces that need to be handled. The minimum is $200,000, which could help with anything too. So that would be anywhere between that range will be our request. Each project, like I mentioned, each project, every park, any other areas that the county wants to explore, any of that, has to have its own application. But you should know that you can, one applicant can apply for multiple grants within this and actually earn $3 million if they can show capacity. They can earn that for each application. So, you know, me bringing this opportunity to you doesn't limit you from having the application be applied for any other projects we're looking at in the county. And the beautiful thing is that because of our county and the economic status we have, so long as we have a median household income of less than $56,982, then there's no match. So we don't have to fundraise around it. The grant can actually pay for the entire project or whatever phase of the project we can handle with this ask. Next. Great. So I'm here with Ray Strack and Dick Cowardin, who represent Alder Creek Divide, Cascade World, which is where the project that we're presenting briefly at the end of this presentation. And I wanted you to be aware that looking at that project and looking at the project selection criteria, mind you, I've just written this for the City of Doris for another project for a recreation center in the very same template, that if we look at all the criteria to earn 100 points, as we read and dove deeply into that, we realized we can earn 100 points for Siskiyou County because there's so much need economically, job opportunity-wise. We fit all the criteria for median household income. We fit the rural status that they're looking for at the state. And then the missing pieces that we have to put work into, we have to do the narrative work, is around how it'll make an impact economically, how it'll make an impact in jobs, how it'll make an impact in our health and well-being in our county. And we believe there's enough evidence we could, and there's been enough work feasibility-wise, study-wise, that we could prove that narratively. And so I think we could earn 100 points, which is why I want to be able to bring it to you. Next slide, please. So just some of the red tape around it is that there is a full grant application, a full grant administration guide. It's about 40 pages long that the county would have to, I wouldn't say have to, that utilizes to be able to administer the grant as the applicant. And a couple of the key points there is that the performance period is between July 1st, 2020 and June 30th, 2025. So we have 5 years, well, 4 years or so now, in order to perform on whatever it is we ask for within the grant. They're going to ask us exactly what we want to, you know, financially provide, and then they're going to give us 4 years to complete that. And we can limit and phase it based off of what we know we can complete in the 4 years. So really not a project that will be complete in 2 or 3 years, but a project that we're going to phase and start and activate with this grant money. And then I wanted to make sure that we were aware that there's a 30-year period that begins with the appropriation date. And that's just that as the applicant, you would make sure that whatever the grant money pays for keeps it going and maintained for 30 years. So there's going to need to be partnerships between us and Klamath National Forest and such. Next slide. So application deadline is November 5th. And one of the things that we have to, criteria-wise, is going to be many of the points we will earn, I think 15 out of the 100 points, is that we get community design sessions completed, and that we use those design ideas in order to actually write the grant, that we ask for what the community wants, not just the project that has been envisioned already. And so one of the things that we need action on, and Supervisor Chris mentioned and coming back in August, is there partnership enough that we should spend time coordinating community meetings for design sessions? Because I need to have at least 2 opportunities, and I plan to have those opportunities within each of the communities that would be directly impacted. So definitely in Weed, definitely in Doris, in Tenet area, we said Montague, Wairika, you know, the area, any area any area that might benefit from that economically, not just in that they're going to be the skiers or the people who go there to recreate, but that they'll be the ones that would provide the services when there's job opportunities. And and how their communities might benefit from it as well. We would have to complete CEQA, which in this case it's a national forest, so it would be a NEPA process in that performance period, and we can use part of this money to pay for that, right? So that is part of the perk, is that 25% of any of the costs before the project actually starts, anything after July 1st, 2020, can be reimbursed, so we could spend some of this grant money on that process, the NEPA process. And like I mentioned, we need to have this, the county be the representative in it. And in that representation, there'd be a resolution signed saying that, that the county takes ownership over submitting the grant, and an authorized representative would sign paperwork throughout the grant application that shows that the authorized representative has signed off on it. It can't just be the grant writer, it has to be legally tendered.
So that, who signs the NEPA?
Would that be Klamath National Forest? I think Klamath National Forest.
Okay. Are they a partner?
They are a partner. We've met with them for the last 2 years, actually. The grant opportunity has been, there's other grants that have been pending in the last 2 years that we thought might work. But this one is exactly what we would need because it's rural tourism and recreation. And so we have a close partnership with Bruce Sherberg, who's the Klamath National Forest District Ranger. And we were already in full communication with them. We actually have a use permit right now where we are drilling a test well in October on the property to make sure that there's viable water that will support the project. And so we're already, there's investment happening right now already that can be reimbursed if we win the grant. But we know that we need to be able to show that there's viability on the property as well. Because it is really remote. I mean, you don't build a ski park off the highway. It has to, you have to go into the forest pit. Okay, next. And then I just wanted to make sure I leave you with that there is a project, which I've already mentioned a few times, but I don't know if you're all familiar with Dick Howerton, who's here with us, but for about 40 years, he has represented the Alder Creek Divide, and he has some momentum going now with, you know, a younger group pulled in with him to help him figure out the business side of it and actually bring this momentum into the grant and everything. So it would, you know, Alder Creek Divide off of West Hate Mountain, it would be a year-round facility. It would be something that people can come and stop along the as they come down the highway. They're on their way to other recreation features in Bend or down to San Francisco. We know we can pull from about a 5-hour radius in the studies that were done in his preemptive studies. Or 5 hours or so is how far someone will drive in order to ski and have those kind of recreation features. We'd be able to add the attraction in Siskiyou County, which also adds employment opportunities, developer opportunities, so housing and things all around that region, and economic developments. And I think those are endless, the impact it can make economically to have such a facility. And I also want to bring to your attention that, you know, back in 1994, the county supervisor actually approved a $32,000 grant for Mr. Cowardin in order to have a feasibility study completed, and we have records of all the feasibility studies that were completed back then, but the county has actually already made an investment into this project. And it was also listed in the draft forest plan and was encouraged to be developed by the draft forest plan, which was close to 40 years ago, but there's momentum now. And the other thing I wanted to, I just mentioned that their area is in the final environmental report of the plan and where to locate it, and we can provide all of that in context if we need to in order to support the project. And then I just wanted to make sure I leave you with the our contact information in case there's any follow-up questions between now and when we can come back to have a decision made. But we do have me, myself as a grant writer. That's really my role in this, is Clean Consulting, is just the grant writing side of it. I'm actually offering to do the grant writing for free. Dick Howerton got some quotes from other grant writers nearby and figured it'd be around $15,000 to do the grant. But I'm invested in his project, and so I see that there's an opportunity to bring something to Siskiyou County, and I'd be willing to put the effort in, which is a lot between now and November 5th, but we have that. And then Ray and Greg are my business advisors. They, you want to say something
sure.
about that?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, hi, my name is Raymond Streck, County Staff Supervisor. Thank you for having me. I would just like to say that Mr. Coward and Anna and her father Rennie had asked me to look at this some time ago, and we crunched the numbers, and this is very feasible from an economic standpoint. I mean, it is a huge CapEx expenditure that we would not be able to internalize either as a grant-writing entity nor as a county. This would end up being a build-own-operate public-private partnership. We have made contact with some folks at the Icon Group and some other very large, you know, ski development groups, and there seems to be interest, but this would allow us to perform a feasibility study and develop a business plan such that we could walk into their boardroom and get them very excited about it, and it would potentially end up paying dividends to the county as a proportional representation of the county's expenditure and overseeing that feasibility study. So I'm here if you have any questions, but the numbers work. It's like I said, it's a big project, it's a large CapEx expenditure, but you know, people love ski parks. So, thank you for your time.
And if I let Mr. Coward come up and speak, he'd have you for an hour, so I'm going to hold him back. But he is so passionate about the project that at 91, he's still promoting it because he believes it's great for Siskiyou County. And that's what I have to read today.
Okay. I think there are probably a number of questions. Supervisor Chris.
Kind of lay this out here. I think a little bit of history on this, too. Thank you, Ms. Cleveland. It was a wonderful presentation.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you.
Well done. I know you talked about the 1992 and 1994 with the Board of Supervisors looking into it. I have no way to follow up on this because there's a relative that's now passed away. But Senator Randolph Collier had a spot over out of Tenet, wherever that was, that held snow for a long period of time. And he was hoping for a ski resort over in that area back in the 60s and 70s.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't guarantee it was the same spot. It was from a relative that told me the story years ago. So anyway, moving forward, I know this isn't your first rodeo for grants. Ms. Cleveland, you've done this before,
mm-hmm.
for different kind of grants for the one in Doris. So I know this isn't your first. You're not coming to this wide-eyed necessarily. You've done grants before.
Oh, I know the work it's going to take to complete this grant. It's intense, but I'm willing.
And then what we're after, it's kind of like the Horse Valley School project. You know, what we did is we came to the board, and then the board gave permission for staff and partners to look into it. So that's what we're doing here, basically, is giving permission to go look into it. And I know one of the things you're after is the feasibility study. This isn't going to do the whole project by itself, this grant.
Right.
But this grant would be a feasibility study to see what does this look like, what does this have, can it happen, entice investors.
That
would look at it and say, hey, this would be the seed money. Even though $3 million is a lot of money, it's
right.
really the seed money.
Yeah, which I should also note that, you know, if we win the grant, it's a very competitive grant. There's $23 million in some available. So if we ask for $3 million and $10 million, it's gone, and it's past gone, right? So we would have to really prove our case in order to win the grant. Once we win the grant, then there's where the contracting with the county would actually come into play. It doesn't mean that we can't go attempt to write the grant and attempt to do the work. You know, there's already a feasibility study that's done, but it's from the 90s, so changing those numbers and how it would look now in 2021, it'll look totally different, obviously. But without some updated pieces of that, with hopefully the seed money will help with it, it's harder to attract those investors because it's so outdated, if you can understand that. So,
you know, one of the difficulties, I know you can't come to us, the board always loves the final product, and then we vote on that, but the difficulty is you can't bring us the final product yet because you still need to do community engagement,
right.
get feedback, and have those sorts of factors.
Yeah, but I'm willing to work closely with the county, however that looks. Siskiyou Economic Development is considered a partner to us as well. They're willing to work on the grant in any facet that they need to as well. You know, there's partnership already developed there. But I just have, you know, not personal interest, but just investment because I live in Doris and I want something for economic development in Doris. And I know if I can get people to stop in my region, that there's more jobs there, that there's more livelihood happening in the north part of the county. And so we want to be able to do something that stimulates us. And that's why I'm so personally invested in having an opportunity like this.
And Mr. Chair, I just have one final comment or question. And I like Ms. Clean and Mr. Strack know this. But you know, as part of the feasibility study, I know one concern always could be, hey, there's a ski, let's say it's a ski park in tenant. Mm-hmm. Are we pulling people away? Is Peter Robin from Paul taking skiers from Mount Shasta? Mm-hmm. So this part is that feasibility study to confirm that it's not, you won't have two competing interests within the county, but rather the collaboration in building up upon it. Do you want to answer that?
Yeah, I definitely can answer that. So we saw during COVID, for instance, that ski parks were very popular because they're outdoors and they actually could open, right? And places like Mount Shasta and Mount Ashland both maxed out to where they couldn't fit anyone else in their parking lots. And so what we ended up having is a lost opportunity for the community in Mount Shasta, because those people moved on, they just kept going. They had either went home or they didn't come because it was maxed out. And so I really highly believe that competition drives, right? Like having multiple facilities within an hour of each other actually will drive competition, and it'll bring in people who would rather spend a whole week in our region instead of just go to Mount Shasta for a day. Now they come to Mount Shasta for the day and they stay the night in Mount Shasta, and the next day they go to Alder Creek and they spend a couple days there. We get some housing out there that can put them in an Airbnb or something. And then they're like, let's go see Ashland while we're here. And they actually head over to Ashland before they go back to the Bay Area, right? Because they're willing to take that drive and that ski trip. But why does this come for one smaller resort or one opportunity when they can come for a whole week and do multiple places and they're all different and they all offer different snow and different opportunities?
Just so, your intent's not to steal from anybody.
It'll add to Siskiyou County no matter what it does, and the people who would be turned away will have another opportunity. They're going to check out the new place, and they're going to go to Mount Shasta too, because it's already established, it's reputable, you know, has advertising. I think it'll just strengthen the whole network that we have right here.
Mr. Chair, I'm good with that. Okay. Ask away, guys.
Who's next?
There's so many questions. On the end side of that, when you look at the county taking care of the money aspect, how much is there a cost to the county to administer the money?
No, actually, the county can earn from administering the grant. So in the grant application, we can write in there that grant administration will need to be funded, and we can put the budget at whatever is competitive. The state wants you to competitively spend the money. But you could say, grant administrator is $50 an hour, and we need them for 10 hours a month specifically on this grant. So you wouldn't be paid a check in advance, but you'd be paid based off of the statement of work. You know, at the end of the month, the county says, we've spent 15 hours this month cutting checks and making sure the grant's administered, and we need, you know, $2,500 back. And it'll come out of, in that performance period, it'll come out of the grant to pay for that administration. So the way I look at that is the county could actually hire an additional person if they need to, who is a grant administrator, or partner, consult with someone who does grant administration and fund it through the grant. You can't pay for grant writing with it, which is one reason why I'm volunteering, but you can pay for grant administration with the grant.
Understanding that the feasibility study will take 4 years.
Yeah, so we have an existing feasibility study. We need to update it, right?
Do you, Dick?
There's been two feasibility studies on this project.
They just need to be updated. Yeah, they need to be updated because they're older, and the numbers are going to look totally different. And that's why we have Ray and Greg part of the team, because of their drive and their work they're doing in the economic development side of the picture. And who else did we talk to? We were talking to JEDI in the last 2 years. I've had several meetings with JEDI around studies that were, you know, just to be updated. And we just need to know that it's worthy of the time we're going to invest, because there's this opportunity for seed money, right? Like, I think we would still look at how can we make this project a reality. But the state is saying, hey, you guys are exactly what we're looking for to give money to. if you can prove that you can have the capacity to perform, then you could be one of our earners. And so.
So this money is specifically for the thinking about the project, for the feasibility study, basically.
Correct. There's also some design components as well. So in terms of analyzing CapEx expenditure for whatever the design comes back through those community meetings would be a component of it as well.
For the planning aspect.
Correct, yes.
So then we have to turn around and figure out how we're going to come up with the money for the actual project.
Right. And I agree with you on that. And I also know that we have conversations already happening, like Ray mentioned, with the Iconic Group, which is based out of Vail. So we, you know, Vail and Tahoe, they are people who build ski resorts.
Right.
We need to find a way to attract them into our region and say, hey, we have this piece of property. The actual feasibility study that was done in the 90s showed that when Mount Shasta was to be developed, West Haight Mountain was also, it was set up to be a better ski resort than Mount Shasta, but Mount Shasta, the location off the freeway and all of the things took precedence. And this is a north facing slope, so the snow lasts a lot longer and all of those pieces, which would make it have a longer season.
Right. So Dick and I go way back. We've had this conversation a lot.
Yeah.
I don't remember what the elevation is.
The base is at 64, and the top elevation is, for the top chair, would be 79,240. It's higher than in both areas.
I can also see that it has to come in phases. If we had $3 million, we have to pay for, there's NEPA, there's a lot of different things that are going to take up big chunks of that.
Right.
But with an investor and thinking about how can we get it staged and how can we get them into that region so they can see the potential, I think we could use that, some of that money to set it up. You could do cross-country skiing and hiking and all these things without a big resort set up.
Right.
But getting the traction actually established could be part of this, and then the investors see the opportunity to put in the developments around it and the buildings in it and the ski lifts, and now you actually have a resort in the next decade or two, you know, versus nothing that somebody has an extreme passion for and has fought for many years. So the phases are going. It's not definitely not going to be done in 5 years. $3 million is not going to pay for 5 ski lifts, but we want to be able to build the connections and have the momentum pick up on it so we can get them up here to.
So basically, the county's involvement is going to be for the initial grant phase.
Yes, and I can't do it without the county because I have to have someone sign off on it from the county.
Right.
Or a city, but the county would be the enveloped appropriate area because you guys represent multiple cities in our region.
And then once that part's done, then if that all works well and things look good and you move on to the actual program phase, we're out of the picture and you move on to private investments.
Not necessarily. So, so there are a number of different models that we could pursue in this. It would depend upon the kind of sinks and head shaking. But there are opportunities for the county to remain an integral component in this and receive dividends through an actual corporate structure. If that is not enticing to the county, then yes, the involvement would end at the end of the feasibility study. And obviously then the county's income would be through property taxes and money spent in the county at the resort. But there are build-own-operate models. There's about 24 different macro models of public-private partnership, several of which would allow the county to remain involved, and several of which would have the county step aside after this portion was done. But we're open to discussions on that. There's definitely an opportunity.
Which I want to make sure is we're all well aware. There are so many questions that have to still be answered. We're just looking for, we don't want to miss the chance at this opportunity for the grant, right? So if we don't make swift decisions on can we actually do it, then we will just have a missed opportunity. And that's why I'm here. Like I said, we're thinking through how can we actually get this, Mr. Cowardin's idea to investors to get it all. And I mean, we're not bought in as a business or nothing like that. We're just advising to get it actually moving. So
It's also worth noting that in the last year, as I've become more involved in this and reached out, it turns out there is a fairly large amount of pent-up demand from outdoor recreational developers looking for new ski park areas. So there is pent-up demand in the private sector for a project like this.
Well, and I don't see any reason why there can't be three ski parks in this area. When you look at Utah, there's stacked one on top of each other. So that's...
Well, Tahoe is a circular region, and how many sea parks are within the Tahoe Basin?
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. People can go to Shasta, then this place, and then move on to Bend. There's all kinds of great reasons
and
why
I think
it
they
could
will.
Happen.
I think they will.
That's great. So I will pass on to my colleagues.
I'd like to say a couple things.
Come over here.
I've worked for Cal Fire and
come on, Mike.
Oh.
This is yours. I was going to try to keep.
I worked for Cal Fire for 30-some years, and I've worked this whole county, and I always had in mind what would be a good area. This area came out topped. Shasta Trinity National Forest did an EIS study on this. They studied possibly 28 areas, and he narrowed that down to 5. And if you read the EIS that they did, this area would come out on top. And I've had two. Before I went into this, I had a person come up that's in the industry for 25 years to give me a look at the area to tell me whether it was worth following. And after he did that, I really dove into it because it was the best area. And as far as competition between the two, the studies, the analysis said that it would only benefit the other areas. And another thing is, we have people going through the county to Bend, Oregon constantly on 97. So we're going to draw those people when they come back through, they're going to go up there and look. So this area has more potential than both of the areas that are in existence now. It just takes time to bring things together, as you see. I've been in at it for 40 years. So, and I am not looking to get anything personally out of this. I just see it as an economic benefit for the county.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Questions?
So the project is a ski resort? Is that what I'm hearing?
So all year, a year-round resort, year-round complex. Skiing, I mean, we would start with the lowest impact, which would be cross-country skiing, snowshoeing, the things that we could do by just creating parking spaces and that.
How big is the property?
How big is your property, the property in question?
It's Klamath, it's public land, and it's Klamath National Forest. It's 2,200
acres. 2,200
acres.
The entire footprint is on public land?
There might be a little bit of private, but basically the beginning of the project will be on all public land.
Which we've already have had many conversations with Klamath National Forest, and we're willing to do this in our region. So.
I'll talk about that.
The Klamath National Forest would be more involved.
You answered my question. Let me go on.
Okay.
Who's the entity that is I guess doing the feasibility study, and who would be the entity taking on the whole project?
So Mr. Cowardin actually has board members, but we haven't formed the board officially.
You can't have board members without
we haven't actually triggered the meetings yet. But have you ever had a board meeting?
No.
We have a list of people that we're getting ready to.
There's not an entity existing yet. There isn't one. Okay.
No, we're coming as a county saying we're just passionate about the project and the opportunity for the grant.
Understood. I get that part.
And there's currently.
I'm looking at the part where the county is signing the document that's going to be responsible for how the proceeds of the grant are spent.
Exactly.
And I'm just, this is nothing against the project.
Sure.
But it never goes well. We paid back grants because of how it's been spent. And the admin fee never covers the fee for what the county's involved.
Could the county be the entity? I mean, between you and the national parks?
I don't know that the county would want to be the entity. We've got enough on our hands just with Lake Siskiyou, quite frankly. So I don't know. I don't know that at this time. You indicated there was a nonprofit. Is that what
I remember? I also represent a group that's newly formed called View Valley Dream Builders Group, which isn't really related to this. Okay. I would love it to be, but this grant cannot be written by View Valley Dream Builders Group, and also work closely with WorkHow RC&D, who is a nonprofit who has been presented the project, but it is such a large scope that it's intimidating to WorkHow RC&D for my, that's my takeaway, is too big of a project to take on for their organization. When we talked to them, they were a one-person administration, so with a board.
Who would be liable for the grant proceeds and the implementation?
Well, the county would be liable. When I say liable, the county would be the submitter, would be the grantee, and would be in contract with the state of California to perform the grant.
Just two things. One on your prior question. We have spoke with Mr. Cowardin about engaging the stakeholders that he's been involved with over the years and creating an actual corporate entity. Should the county look favorably upon doing this feasibility study, or quite frankly, even if not the county, because then we would go look for private money to do it. And then in response to your second question, it appears in our read of the grant application that if the county were to assign some oversight either to economic development or to another entity with which it has an existing relationship, that you could in that way, not sidestep, but you, in that way you could assign some of those responsibilities outside of immediate staff.
So Siskiyou Economic Development is on board with this?
They seem to be. I spoke with Ms. Hayden yesterday.
They are or they aren't. That seemed to be different.
So they're well aware of the project. They know of the grant opportunity.
So I haven't heard from EDC on this project. I'm not discounting the project. The project sounds good. Where I'm getting a little bit hung up is the county's kind of the entity. And that makes me a little nervous because that means there's more responsibility, more workload on the county that may not receive enough to offset those costs.
I think we could ask Tanya Dallas. She's online.
Oh, okay.
You could unmute Tanya.
Yeah, we actually put in a request to get on her calendar either this week or next week, so we do look to be following up with her on this.
There she goes.
Oops.
Good morning, Tanya. I hate to put you on the spot, but I will.
I can't unmute her. I'm being out at this.
Sure, Tanya.
Yep.
Might just be the speaker there.
Yeah, they can't hear me.
No.
Okay. Ms. Dowse, are you able to hear us?
I can hear you just fine.
Excellent.
Perfect.
I guess we're putting you on the spot this morning. What you know about the project, whether you support it?
I would be happy, Chairman, to meet with the project proponents and evaluate if there's a role for us in this project, whether it's just a supporting role or a primary role. I'm not sure. I'm coming kind of late to this conversation, so I apologize. I saw this item on the agenda and thought it might be of interest, but I'm really not very well versed in it, and so really not prepared to speak to the topic.
Okay. Thank you.
And I guess, lastly, I know I heard the word that we need to be swift to act on this, but the grant funding's been available for over a year in phase one, I'll call it, and now phase two is coming up. But I mean, I'm even hearing from EDC that they're not fully apprised of the project. I think there's a lot of pieces missing yet, and I think the idea of getting everybody on the same page is great, but I don't think, I don't know that you're there yet, and that makes me a little concerned on with regard to the county's role in taking it on as the signee for the grant.
Well, and just know that the grant is separate than the project. We're just looking at that there's opportunity for a grant that could help seed the project, which can make a difference economically in Siskiyou County, which I do realize
That part's a no-brainer for me. I get that. Yeah. The liability factor for the grant itself is because we're looking at taxpayer dollars countywide, and that's what I have to make sure that, you know, whatever goes forward, that it isn't going to put the county out on a limb. So.
We can certainly do a more in-depth analysis of that.
Well, Mr. Strack, I guess my comment to you would be is it should have been done before today.
Sure.
Because you could do it after this.
Oh, absolutely. No, I mean, just to be clear, my role in this is really crunching the numbers on the business side of it and less to do with the grant writing aspect. So I can't really speak to that portion of it, but I understand where you're coming from.
We would have liked to have been here a lot earlier. It's just the coordination of getting on the agenda and things. With the grant that I wrote for Doris, it was due in March, and so I, for the last 120 days before that, I was heavily involved in that grant and did not seek this one to move it forward until we could, and then I think we met in May, and so our intention was to get here as soon as possible. Conversation has led us here today, so.
Go ahead. So I guess, I'm going to follow up on what he was probing there a little bit. Probe our CAO a little bit too. I'm not quite sure what they're asking today. Since the grant is somewhere down the road, if you're asking for a expenditure of staff time, and how much, I mean, that's kind of what I need to know.
Angela Davis, County Administrator. My understanding, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is that today the ask is to be able to apply for a grant that would financially support a feasibility study only at this point in time. An update of the feasibility study that have already been in place. So that is where Siskiyou County would hold that role as the grantee, because we are requesting those monies to pay for the feasibility study. From my understanding is that Ms. Cleland would then be the grant writer, who would then make all of the administrative type documents complete, do the submission, the whole kit and caboodle, so to speak. The county's time, it would be the preparation of the resolution. It would be bringing that resolution back to the board, and it would also, I would be more comfortable to have some form of oversight to make sure that we are in line with deadlines and in line with the grant requirements, as with any grant, to make sure that we are administrating appropriately so that we are not held on the hook if something was missed. So with that oversight, because they are offering to actually be the grant writer, the time, I would not say it would be a massive amount of time, but that's an unknown depending upon the details and any kind of pushback that we receive. So that, in a nutshell, I could not give you exact hours, but I do have staff that would be able to be available to assist and to provide that oversight. At a minimal amount of hours, please.
Also, want to add to that I believe the time commitment will come after the grant is awarded, which we'd have to earn the award, and then you'd have to commit to the contract before there'd be any grant administration. So there's still decision points that would happen before the county would have time commitment, because I would lean on the county for the administration of the grant since you're the grantee. Right, and then therefore you would have to find 10 or 15 hours a month of grant administration time. I would guess 10 or 15 hours. There's checks to be written. It's really reporting once every 6 months to the state about what money is coming in and coming out to fund it. But let's say 10 hours or so a month, and there's funding to be able to pay for the administration of it. So it would be written into the grant, the budget that we would need to afford that.
I'm interested, but please hear my concerns.
Okay.
You know my history, retired Forest Service.
Mm-hmm, I heard.
But the history you probably don't know is I also was in the middle of the ski development rebuild Mount Shasta early in my career. So I live with the scars of that. I also live with the scars of working, administering part of the Mount Ashland ski area as well.
Okay.
And though you say a lot of people want this, I will agree with you, but there's a heck of a lot of people who don't. And what really bothers me, I guess, is Forest Service as a partner. Because it's going to instantly bring on litigation as soon as that EIS starts with Forest Service. That's not insurmountable, but just beware. You are walking into the lion's den with the environmental community anytime you mention the word ski area. It's just life on public land. I know Tennant pretty well. I know that part of the forest pretty well, but where is Hate Mountain exactly?
There's two mountains over there that are over 8,000 feet. One is West Hate, and the other is Hate.
Okay.
West Hate is west of Hate.
Aren't they to the southeast of Tennant?
Southwest.
Well, that's what I meant. I'm sorry. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay, I didn't know where they were. Yeah.
And I understand the NEPA process. It's got to go through the NEPA process.
Yeah.
That's going to be a big deal. I understand there's going to be people against it.
Yeah.
But overall, I think it will be eventually approved. I don't see it happen overnight. It hasn't happened overnight so far. I've been on it a long time. I see maybe 5 to 10 years before we really get things going because of the NEPA process. I have been told that the NEPA process would take... Now it would take three and a half years.
Yeah.
By an organization that has worked on the Klamath National Forest, Transcend company out of Berkeley. So I've been getting a cost of it $2.5 million for the NEPA process.
And the grant doesn't pay for all of that; it would pay for up to 25% of pre-construction costs.
Is the federal government picking up the rest then?
Well, we have to figure that out. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. The county's not going.
I understand. Or maybe a private investor might, right? If we get the private investor may step up and say, there's 25% of this NEPA process paid for out of a grant. That helps me in the long run, or the investor in the long run. I'm willing to see this through.
Yeah. I understand. I'm just voicing what I'd like to see addressed, you know, before there's some kind of a gate point where we're approving things that are going to affect money in the county.
Okay.
The next is I have a concern with the surrounding timberland, and mainly from a standpoint that once you bring the public in, then the Forest Service goes about redoing visual qualities and all the rest of that kind of stuff, which will encumber timber production on surrounding public lands, and it also influences private land. That's a concern because timber brings a lot of money into this county. I guess my biggest concern from a county standpoint is Tom will soon learn that the Tennant Road is a mess. And it's a multi-million dollar project to improve that road. And with increased traffic on it, we're going to be saddled with bringing that up to some kind of a standard. Right now it's tolerable for log trucks, but this stuff on that road is a subsurface issue on that road that is a huge investment for this county to fix that. I'd be interested to know, I know it's feasible, whether the Forest Service would use our stewardship, master stewardship agreement to reimburse us for our administrative costs.
Okay.
They're going to go after appropriation for this. It might as well include a reimbursement to the county.
Right. So we will ask that.
Yeah. that is a legal instrument we already have in place that they can use. The other concern I might have too is your feasibility study must include whether or not the land management plan for the Klamath needs a revision. I don't have to ask that question. I know it does because I'm an expert on that plan. They'll have to do a land management plan revision as well as the EIS for this particular project, and I just wonder what the time frame would be for that.
Especially if it hasn't been revised since the 90s, right?
1993. There's probably a lot of environmental concerns I won't go into. You're close to spotted owls there, which is always a royal pain. And the newer listed species, the, what do I call them, rats, but they're, those darn things.
Fisher.
Thank you. Fisher in that area are pretty prevalent, from what I understand. So anyway, I wish you luck, but just know that when a feasibility does get developed, I'd be looking at quite a bit of detail, specifically how it might affect the county and how it might encumber us to make commitments going forward.
Well, thank you for the discussion, at least. I expected 10 minutes and taking a lot more time than that. But I appreciate listening and the discussion around it. And I'll work with Supervisor Chris on whether or not we should schedule another agenda item in the future.
Sure.
Yeah, that was my. I know Supervisor Compton had to step out there for a while. So I explained that people usually, like, the board loves to see the final product.
Of course.
But unfortunately, the way this grant's designed, you have to have the town hall meetings, you have to have all that stuff worked in part. So what they asked today was before we spent staff time on it, was the board give permission to staff or direction to staff and county council to look into defining the roles and responsibilities, also potential liabilities, Mr. Keenan. I know lawyers have to look at that and respect it. But for this is to give permission or direction to staff to work with Cleveland to look and define what the roles and responsibilities are. And that's what we're looking into here. We're looking for a service skid, and then in August, presentation come back. This is what the project looks like. But what we're basically asking, we're here today, is to give permission to staff to spend the time looking at what they define their roles and responsibilities.
And if I don't know till August, that's okay. There's still work to be done between then. But I wouldn't want to engage the whole county in a community level around the grant unless I knew I had someone who was going to sign the grant.
I echo that. I mean, thank you for your conversation today. And for me to make a decision, I have to know what I'm committing to.
Of course.
And I really don't know.
At this point.
So it needs to come back in some kind of a decision format.
That's what they expected. That's fine.
But I guess through the chair, but I think that's incumbent upon you as the one bringing that forward. I don't think it encumbers the county staff.
No, I know. The county staff
doesn't have the time. Mm-hmm. Between marijuana, water, and fire now, I don't know where you squeeze it in.
The work wouldn't be until the administration of the grant. Honestly, it would just be signing, and that would take some, I could bring it to actual existing meetings where it could be signed.
Well, for me, I need more details even for signing to the grant.
Of course.
I mean, we get grant applications even from our own department that say, we have to sign this today in order to be in the running.
Yeah.
And I'm usually a no vote on that because I don't like being put under that gun.
Of course.
I'd rather know the facts, but this opportunity's been here for at least a year or more, but now we're coming up against another deadline, and that makes me a little nervous without seeing more details.
Okay.
And I'll say it. I don't know that the county and the CAO can weigh in on this, but even if the grant were awarded, I don't know that the county has the manpower or the staff to administer even part of that to see how it is that is done correctly. And maybe I'm wrong, but we always seem to let things fall through the cracks, and then we end up picking up the tab on the other side because it wasn't done correctly. So. Mm-hmm. Those are my concerns. The project, I get. That's a no-brainer. But when the county's got to sign on the dotted line for taxpayer dollars, that's a different animal.
Right, and the project will, like, we are passionate that the project will move on even if we don't get a couple million dollar grant to support it, right? So it's just, this was an opportunity we didn't want to miss. And okay. We don't need a decision today, we just want to present it.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
The county is not going to be involved as much as the Climate National Forest. They're the ones that are going to be doing a lot of the work on the ground, not the county.
But the county's liable for the grant.
Yeah, for the money.
Yeah. Well, they already give a grant for $32,000 way back, and the whole board approved all of that at that time. And another thing about the Climate National Forest and the timber, the Climate National Forest has always been known for timber. It's about time that they get to recreation. This project will help that, and it will bring more money into the county than the timber has. This county has always been, this forest has always been timber, timber, timber. It's time for them to do recreation, recreation, recreation.
Thanks, Mr. Cowden and Ms. Cleland, and if we want to stop there.
We're good. I would say,
direction, but thank you.
You need 5 minutes, would you?
Yes, please. That'd be nice.
I'm going to take a 5 minute recess.
May I ask just one question really quickly? I just want to make sure that I'm clear on what you guys would like to see for the next time that we put this in front of you. You want a more granular analysis of any county liability in terms of grant oversight. You'd like a furtherance on what the KNF liability looks like in terms of a partnership there. We're going to meet with Ms. Douse and whoever she feels would be appropriate at Siskiyou Economic Development. Are those the primary points?
And you're going to funnel it through the administrative office so it's in a format that we are able to.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss anything. That's it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. All right. 5 minutes. Okay.